You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is Wednesday, August 3rd, talking Cardinals baseball today with Jennifer Langosch. And Jennifer, we thank you for the time, as always. And let's kind of start off with a rather odd Cardinals statistic of the day. This may blow your mind. It may not. I don't know. But after last night's loss to the Reds, the Cardinals, the only team in the National League to lose two games where they hit four home runs. And I don't know what this proves other than the fact that I spend way too much time on Baseball Reference, something I looked up, so there you go. So it does prove, I guess, too, that the Cardinals are crushing the ball as they've done all season. The pitching has not been there at times. It was not there last night for Sung Hwang Oh. He had not given up a run in 25 innings on the road this season, a very impressive streak that comes to an end with an exclamation point as Scott Schebler hits the walk-off shot in the ninth. But, you know, considering how hot the Cubs are right now, they won again today in walk-off fashion at home against the Marlins. Last night's loss, a really tough one to swallow for this team.
Yeah, it is. And really, you know, this road trip got off to such a good start with a series win in New York, two wins to start that series in Miami. And this team, actually on Saturday, after watching the Cubs lose, a win that night would have pulled the Cardinals within 5.5 games of the Cubs. A deficit as small as they haven't had since April. All of a sudden now here we're looking at a double-digit deficit looming. The Cardinals have lost three in a row, two of the last two on walk-off hits. So, yeah, definitely a disappointing little stretch here to toward the end of this road trip. This is also a kind of a critical stretch for the Cardinals in that between the Reds and then the Braves and Reds coming to town for the next home stand. This is an opportunity to play some really good ball against teams that are having a very poor year. And if these are the types of games that the Cardinals need to win, first off, is again, if they want to stay at all in that NL Central race, but certainly with where they're positioned in the NL wildcard race to keep pace there and perhaps make a move up those standings.
Yeah, just, you know, the tempo of last night's game on Tuesday was that, you know, you look at the game, they come into the eighth, I think, trailing, and then they get a home run from Brandon Moss, his first game back off the DL. Now we're tied. Then Tommy Pham comes up, a pinch hitter. He homers. So now you bring a lead into the to the ninth inning. Sung Hwang Oh had not given up a run on the road all season, and boom, there goes the lead. There goes the game. A very tough loss for the Cardinals last night on Tuesday. And, Jen, that was just the culmination of a very tough day preceding the game because the Cardinals learned that's yet another injury, this time to Aledmys Diaz. He was placed on the 15-day DL due to a hairline fracture in his thumb. And an injury very similar in nature to what sidelined Johnny Peralta, the man that Diaz replaced at shortstop at the onset of the season. So the wheel goes round and round. And again, it's another version of musical chairs, if you will, on this Cardinals infield. So kind of take us through one more time the domino effect that this is going to have. Diaz gone. Peralta is back and healthy, at least for now. Let's see if that maintains. But how do things shake out now that Aledmys Diaz is the one that finds himself on the DL?
Yeah, I mean, this is very disappointing in many facets for the Cardinals. I mean, first off, the fact that they felt like they were getting so healthy this week with Peralta and Moss, as you mentioned, coming back, Matt Carpenter on the cusp of coming back on Friday. So the Cardinals thought that for the first time, maybe basically all year, that they'd have their full offense together. All of a sudden, Diaz gets hit by a pitch on Sunday. Monday's x-rays showed that was a little more significant an injury than initially expected. So what it means right now is that Peralta will be playing shortstop again, so which is an easy kind of fix for the Cardinals, and they have the obvious fit defensively. I think the question offensively is how the Cardinals fill Diaz's spot in the two-hole. I mean, it's been no secret that he has been one of the best rookies in baseball this year, a guy who was probably neck and neck with Corey Seager for Rookie of the Year honors. This is certainly going to hurt that. But for the Cardinals right now, not to have Matt Carpenter, their prolific leadoff hitter, and not to have Aledmys Diaz in that two spot, they really don't have a good answer yet as to who will fill in that gap. So whether it becomes Brandon Moss, whether it's Steven Piscotty, Jed Jerko has had a very good month of July. We'll see. But that's going to be the biggest challenge for this club, is seeing where they can get that offensive production as they wait for Diaz to come back. They do hope, you know, unlike Peralta's issue with his thumb that requires surgery, that Diaz can heal without needing any procedure, and that he will be back at some point this year. The question that we don't have an answer to right now, though, is how long his absence will be.
And that leads me kind of to my next point, is that John Mozeliak, you know, kind of told the media a couple days ago that, you know, yes, he's on the 15-day DL, and, you know, most fans look at that and say, well, he'll be back in 2 weeks, maybe two and a half. But Mozeliak seemed to indicate that this is not going to be a 15-day stint. And even though there's no timetable on it, it appears that this injury is a bit more significant, a bit more severe than it appeared at first. You agree?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think this could easily be something that keeps him out for the month of August. I mean, we are kind of looking at a big window in that the Cardinals expect it to be more than 15 days, which is mid-August, but they do not expect it to cost him the season, which is obviously late September, early October. So, you know, within that time frame, I would imagine it's going to be probably 3-4 weeks before he can really start ramping up baseball activities again. And then, of course, it's how he responds from there. So, you know, the Cardinals are hopeful. Again, the fact that they have Johnny Peralta, a very proven shortstop, able to fill in immediately in that spot is good news. But they're going to miss Aledmys Díaz and certainly that production that he was providing and what's been a very special season for him.
Yeah, I think most people would agree that the NL Rookie of the Year race is going to come down between himself and Trevor Story. Story himself now is injured, so that's just weird the way that timed out between the two guys that many consider the front runners for that NL Rookie of the Year award. We'll see what happens, and hopefully a speedy return for Aledmys Díaz. And sending Díaz to the DL, Jen, just one of a series of roster moves for this team in recent days. We talked about Peralta, talked about Brandon Moss. At the other end of that spectrum, Randall Grichuk has been optioned to AAA yet again. I read a staggering figure on Grichuk that you had. 42 at-bats since the All-Star break, 22 strikeouts. That's hard to wrap your head around. Now, when he was optioned the first time, I think the line of thinking was, you know what, talented kid, he's slumping, he's going to go down to AAA, get his act together, and return to the majors and be the player that he was, the player that he was when he first got called up and the player that we know he can be. But I got to think that now it's a totally different line of thinking the second time around, and I would tend to think not quite as much optimism regarding Randall Grichuk.
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals aren't ready to give up on him in total. I mean, this is a guy who's 24 years old, you know, still a very young player. But certainly there is a level of disappointment in that he hasn't been able to provide the sort of production the Cardinals were anticipating. I mean, let's not forget that they opened the season with Randall Grichuk as their everyday center fielder. His presence in that spot was one of the reasons why the Cardinals didn't pivot after Jason Hayward went elsewhere to find another outfielder. I mean, they had big expectations for both he and Steven Piscotty, and to this point, only Piscotty has lived up to those. So, you know, Grichuk all of a sudden started struggling here, as you mentioned, the rising strikeout total being the biggest kind of red flag there. And at some point, he was going to stop getting playing time here. Cardinals feel, because he's still a young player, still trying to figure out his swing and still trying to get himself right mentally, the best place for him to do that is in AAA Memphis, where he doesn't necessarily have the pressure of having to produce every day, where he can work on his swing and where he can show up to the ballpark every day and know that he's going to get 3 or 4 at-bats. That was just no longer going to be the case here. So, you know, the residual effect of that, of course, in St. Louis is that the Cardinals now, you know, don't really have an obvious center field fit. We saw Steven Piscotty play it here the first game in Cincinnati. He's not a natural center fielder, can cover it fine, but weakens your defense when you have to move him there. Tommy Pham, Jeremy Hazelbaker, maybe even Colton Wong will get some opportunities. But Grichuk was a guy that the Cardinals saw would be a staple to the middle of their order, and to this point, he's just not been able to put it together this year. And the hope is that there's still time for that to come. I just don't know if that's going to be this year or maybe in the future.
And, Jen, you mentioned Colton Wong, you know, for a while. You know, he, too, was struggling. He got sent down to AAA, gets called back up. He saw some time in center field upon being called back up, then got shifted to second base when Carpenter got hurt, some other guys got hurt. And he's kind of been on that yo-yo between center field and second base. So now, with Grichuk in AAA for the foreseeable future, can we expect to see a lot more of Colton Wong in center field? If not being the everyday guy, a most everyday guy, I guess.
I think we'll see him there fairly substantially, especially once Matt Carpenter comes back at the end of this week. Because once you get Matt Carpenter back, you know, all of a sudden you have Carp either filling that second base or third base hole. And with the way Jed Jerko has produced lately, Jed Jerko, mind you, has very quietly snuck up and hit 15 home runs this year as a part-time player, had a terrific month of July. So the Cardinals would like to keep his bat in there. So if you want to keep Jerko in there, if you have Carpenter back in the infield, Peralta obviously is short, you know, they might squeeze Colton Wong out of an opportunity at second base, but I do think we are going to see him to some extent in the outfield. So he continues to get his work there pregame to track fly balls, to try to get a little bit more comfortable. Good news for Colton, too, is that he looks more comfortable at the plate, and ultimately that's going to dictate his playing time. If he can produce offensively, this team has shown that they'll find a fit for you defensively. And you know, Colton seems to have found kind of his base at the plate, seems to be in a good place mentally. Talked to me this weekend about feeling like for the first time in his career, he really understands his swing. And when something doesn't go right, he can identify right away what the issue was and correct it. And that's something that in the past has taken him much longer to do. So, yeah, we're going to see Cole Longman run. That's really kind of the MO of this team, is everybody plays everywhere on any given day. It's a bunch of mixing and matching to this point with so-so results, but it certainly helped the Cardinals through some of these other injuries.
Yeah, it's been, like I said, musical chairs for a couple of weeks now, especially the last couple of weeks, given all the magnitude and volume of injuries, and a lot of guys playing a lot of different spots right now under Mike Matheny. Jen, to begin to wrap up here, you know, when I do these podcasts for the NL Central teams, the first topic this week with every other team has been the trade deadline, because the other teams in the division very active, whether it was buying or selling. The Cardinals, not the case. Here we are, whatever, 10, 11 minutes into this discussion, haven't even talked about the trade deadline because the Cardinals, of course, very quiet. They did get Zach Duke from the White Sox to, you know, fill a hole in that bullpen, but no offense to him. I'm sure he's a great guy, a wonderful athlete, but that's not a headline grabber. So I think John Mozeliak, he kind of said not to expect fireworks because they were getting guys back from within. They were getting guys healthy, you know, a la Brandon Moss, a la Matt Carpenter, who's on his way back soon, Johnny Peralta, who we've talked about. So was that kind of the blueprint? And even if so, is there some level of disappointment from the fan base, you know, knowing that this team didn't do a whole heck of a lot at the deadline, even though maybe the Cubs, you can't catch the Cubs, maybe you accept it at this point, but they're still very much in the hunt for a wild card, but this team very, very quiet leading up to August 1st.
Yeah, I mean, I sense a little bit of disappointment. I think, though, that everything has to be viewed in the prism of, you know, what would it have taken what would it have taken that you would give up to have gotten more? I mean, for instance, Andrew Miller would have looked great in a Cardinal uniform, better than Zach Duke. But the cost of that, probably, you know, the equivalent of what Cleveland gave up would have been for the Cardinals' top prospect, Alex Reyes, top, you know, their best hitter this year in the minors, Harrison Bader, and a couple other prospects. And when you weigh the cost of that talent for what you were going to acquire in return, ultimately the Cardinals just decided it wasn't worth mortgaging their future for the opportunity, probably best case scenario, for a one-game wild card spot. So that's really what they weighed. And, you know, General Manager John Mozeliak was very candid in that most teams that came calling for top prospects Alex Reyes and Luke Weaver, and the Cardinals just weren't ready to give up on those guys for a bullpen fit. The other thing that was really tricky, I think, for Mo and the others in the Cardinals front office is while this team has kind of been milling through the season, there wasn't an obvious quick fix. I mean, you look at their rotation, all five of the starters they started with have stayed healthy. You look at this team offensively, especially with the three big bats coming back this week, there really weren't a series of holes there, maybe outside of center field. So then it came down to getting the bullpen better. And with the way Son Oh has pitched in the ninth inning last night aside, it had been a pretty good group. So the team felt that if they could shore up the bullpen, get another setup option that can go alongside Kevin Seegers and Jonathan Broxton, that was probably the best move. And when you look at the fact that it only cost the Cardinals one outfielder, a minor league outfielder, Charlie Tilson, who wasn't even on their top prospect list, the Cardinals saw that as a win, that they were able to upgrade their bullpen, not give up a lot of their farm system, and hold on to some of those top prospects that they think can help them maybe down the road this year, but certainly in the future.
Yeah, and I agree that to give up a guy the caliber of Alex Reyes for a bullpen fit, even though that fit would have been Andrew Miller, it's a lot to give up. And, you know, fans have to step back and look at the entire picture and realize that, you know, sometimes the quick fix is not the best fix, considering what you've got in that pipeline and what you hopefully have in this big league rotation for many years to come. Jen, I'm not going to get my hopes up, but maybe at this time next week when we discuss things, we will not talk about the latest injury. We can just talk about what happened on the field, good, bad, and ugly, and everything in between. But like I said, considering the recent history for this team, not going to get my hopes up there. But Jennifer Langos, great stuff as always. We'll do it again at this time next week for sure. Thanks again. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, St. Louis Cardinals.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.